Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Good morning. Breaking overnight, positive results. Pfizer just releasing new data this morning saying its vaccine booster does neutralize the Omicron variant. How far does the data go, and will it be enough to stem the rising tide of cases from coast to coast? We'll ask the CEO of Pfizer in a live one-on-one. Tense talks inside the high-stakes showdown between President Biden and Russia's Vladimir Putin. The president warning of a strong response if Russian troops invade Ukraine and leaving the door open for the U.S. military to get involved. We're live at the White House with where the face-off goes from here. In the hot seat, Instagram CEO called before Congress this morning over whether his company is doing enough to protect kids online. Straight ahead, the grilling he'll face and the new tools for teens and parents rolled out by Instagram just hours before his appearance. Crippling Amazon and millions of its customers facing the fallout after a massive outage, a computer glitch halting deliveries and crashing websites during the height of the holiday shopping and shipping season. What's being done to get things back on track just ahead? All that plus face-to-face. Scott Peterson back in court today, the infamous killer being resentenced for the murders of his wife and unborn son, and set to face Lacey Peterson's family in person for the first time in nearly two decades. We're there live. And let it snow. Millions in the Northeast waking up to their first flakes of the season. Al's got everything you need to know as you head out the door today, Wednesday, December 8th, 2021.
From NBC News, this is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to today. It's Wednesday morning. Nice to have you with us. Hoda continues her time off, and we've got a real busy one this morning.
An extremely busy Wednesday morning. In fact, let's get started with that breaking news just came out tied to the pandemic.
Yeah, out just this morning. Pfizer has new data on the effectiveness of its vaccine and booster shots against the Omicron variant amid an ongoing rise in COVID cases and hospitalizations from coast to coast. This data is just in. We will talk about the results with Pfizer's CEO in a moment. But first, NBC's Sam Brock with our report. Hi, Sam. Good morning.
Yeah, Savannah, Craig, good morning. With early data, Pfizer saying that its vaccine right now is effective at combating the Omicron variant. With that third shot or booster dose, the key protection a month out. That guy's against a backdrop right now of rising cases nationally driven by Delta, with hospitals in a handful of states overwhelmed.
New this morning, the nation's first real glimpse of the impact of Omicron. Just a short time ago, Pfizer releasing early data showing that getting a booster shot may be the key for battling the new variant. It's data demonstrating protection against Omicron 1 month after receiving the booster. It comes as a study on people who haven't received the booster, just the initial vaccine, is raising some concern. A small study out of South Africa finds the Pfizer vaccine is less effective at neutralizing the Omicron variant, with a 40-fold reduction of antibodies, though the sample size was just 12 people, and the study has not been peer-reviewed. This is the president's chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, also offering a sliver of good news on Omicron severity.
It appears that with the cases that are seen, we are not seeing a very severe profile of disease. In fact, it might be, and I underscore might, be less severe.
Dr. Fauci noting hospital stays linked to Omicron have been shorter, and there's less use of supplemental oxygen, too. The national average of daily infections has topped 100,000 again, and among the 30-plus states that have seen a rise in hospitalizations the last 2 weeks, a half dozen, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Pennsylvania, New York, and Illinois, accounting for the majority of the country's increase in hospital beds filled.
Is it true that Michigan just broke its record for COVID-related hospitalizations?
It's hard to imagine that we could have broken the record, but we did. I never thought that we'd surpass the first surge, but then again, here we are.
And back to the Pfizer study, there are indications this morning that two doses of the vaccine may actually be enough to prevent severe disease or death from Omicron. That, guys, is still being examined. But right now, Pfizer says it may be able to develop a variant-specific vaccine by March. Savannah, back to you.
Sam, thank you. That sets us up nicely for the CEO of Pfizer, Albert Bourla. Good morning, Mr. Bourla. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, let me just make sure that we are understanding this correctly. It just came out, preliminary lab studies showing that the booster does, in fact, neutralize the Omicron variant. That's the good news. But it also showed that the effectiveness of the original two-shot regime of Pfizer's vaccine was significantly reduced, 25-fold. Do I have that right? And what's the implication of that?
You have it right, and it is very much similar to what the paper from South Africa reported, that in the two doses, there is a significant reduction in our ability to neutralize the titers. Still, we may have an effectiveness with the two doses because there are other elements of immune response other than antibodies, particularly against severe disease. Now, the good news is that when we gave the third dose, which it was not part of the study in South Africa, we have a 25-fold increase in titers this time compared to the second dose. So now a third dose, to make it clear for your audience, three doses against Omicron are almost equivalent to the two doses effectiveness we had against the wild type, the original variant. These are very good news. Preliminary, because we are waiting to see more data, more accurate data with the more accurate assays that will come in a week or two. And then, of course, real-world data. But so far, looks like a third booster improves dramatically the efficacy of the two.
It's very good news. However, if you are someone sitting at home right now and you've just gotten the two-shot regime of Pfizer, is it effectively useless against Omicron? I mean, is there any value to that, or do you have to get the third booster to have any defenses against Omicron specifically?
There is tremendous value compared to if you have only one or if you don't have any. Tremendous value. It might not be enough on itself, that we are waiting to see. So you may need to go to get the third booster faster. And that's something that the health authorities should consider very carefully and make the recommendations. But clearly, having two doses compared to nothing protects you way better than having nothing.
Let me ask you about children in particular, young children, or anyone who just started their vaccine regimen. They're on their first Pfizer dose or their second Pfizer dose. Are they going to have to go immediately to proceed to a third booster? The rest of us waited 6 months. There was that period of time. How does that regimen stand now, given what we know about Omicron and the booster?
This is something that we need to start thinking seriously. I think, again, it is part of the regulatory authorities and it is part of the health authorities of the country. But there are already several countries in Europe that they have reduced the time between the second and the third dose to 3 months. Those results that we got today indicate that they did right.
Let me ask you about the two doses. There was some indication, I believe, in your research that perhaps the two doses did protect against the severest disease, the worst cases. Did you see that in the data, signs of that?
We didn't see anything that would say that clearly will not protect, because what we measured right now was the antibodies. But we don't know that we have very strong CD4 and CD8 responses of memory cells. And those still should have a quite good level of protection against severe diseases based on what we have seen in the past. We will have to wait for real-world data from to make sure that we can build on this conclusion.
Couple quick things. Did your research say anything about if you had previously had COVID, how that factors in? If those naturally induced antibodies combined with a booster, what kind of protection, or the naturally induced antibodies combined with the two-shot regimen?
We didn't have that. We only have, we tested only on people with two doses, people with three doses, but also we tested some new vaccines that they are monovalent and bivalent that we have. And those tests actually produce very strong immune responses. So what I want to say right now it is that if we need a new vaccine, those tests are telling me that we will be able to have a very good one if we need one against Omicron, because really we're able, with some tweaks, to produce way higher results. I'm not sure we will need it, because it's one very likely scenario that the current booster will be enough to maintain protection. But if we need one, I'm sure we can make one. And the good news is that we will have it by March. And even better news is that we will not lose any capacity of the 4 billion doses annual capacity that we have right now. Between the old and the new, we will still maintain 4 billion doses for 2022.
Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla, on a busy morning for you. Really appreciate your time and clarity on this. Thank you so much.
And now to that high-stakes one-on-one between President Biden and Vladimir Putin over the massive buildup of Russian troops along the Ukrainian border. The president voicing deep concerns and warning his counterpart of harsh consequences if there is a military invasion. NBC's chief White House correspondent Peter Alexander has the latest details on all of it. Peter, good morning.
Hey, Craig, good morning to you. In many ways, it's President Biden and the NATO military alliance's credibility that is on the line here. The president in that extended video call making clear to Vladimir Putin that invading Ukraine is a red line and warning if Putin tests the U.S., it would face much tougher economic penalties than the United States slapped on Russia when it last invaded Ukraine. So right now, the world is watching to see whether that's enough to change Putin's behavior or if this crisis escalates.
This morning, after delivering Russia a blunt warning, President Biden is watching to see what Vladimir Putin does next after massing as many as 100,000 Russian troops on the Ukrainian border. The White House detailing the two-hour virtual meeting and the president's clear message.
He told President Putin directly that if Russia further invades Ukraine, the United States and our European allies would respond with strong economic measures.
The call, an effort to defuse the escalating military crisis. President Biden in the Situation Room, Putin at his vacation home on the Black Sea.
Приветствую вас, господин президент.
The two men exchanging greetings in this clip aired by Russian state TV.
Good to see you again. Unfortunately, last time we didn't get to see one another at the G20. I hope next time we meet, we do it in person.
Their conversation, according to the White House, direct and useful. President Biden voicing his, quote, deep concerns over Russia's surge of troops, tanks, and artillery along the Ukrainian border, shown in these satellite photos. If there's a further invasion of Ukraine, the Biden administration says it's prepared to send supplies and additional military equipment to Ukraine and other NATO allies. The White House vowing not to allow a repeat of what happened in 2014 when Russia seized the Ukrainian territory of Crimea, leading to a violent conflict between government forces and Russian-backed separatists. Despite U.S. sanctions then, Putin did not back down.
Things we did not do in 2014, we are prepared to do now.
Republicans who've accused President Biden of projecting weakness toward Russia argue Putin must face devastating consequences for any invasion.
President Putin is a wolf. I think he thinks that President Biden is weak. I think he thinks that President Biden is a sheep, and weakness invites the wolves.
I mean, so, Peter, what does all of this mean for our men and women in uniform, American service members? I mean, could the administration send troops to the region if Russia does, in fact, decide to invade Ukraine?
Yeah, Craig, the president's national security advisor, he says that the U.S. will only take action again if Russia invades Ukraine. But he did leave the door open to sending in additional deployments, as he said, if America's allies, neighboring Russia, that they feel threatened. The White House is clearly prepared to aggressively push back against Putin, again, supplying more military equipment to its partners in the region, but it seems very unlikely that you will see troops on the ground in Ukraine. Craig?
Our chief White House correspondent for us this morning, Peter Alexander. Peter, thank you.
And now to a showdown over social media. It's going to play out on Capitol Hill today. Tom's got that story. Morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning to you. So today, for the very first time, Instagram CEO is testifying before Congress. The hearing focusing on the impacts of social media and young users. And ahead of his appearance, the popular platform launched a series of new features, you may have noticed this, aimed at improving safety. NBC senior Washington correspondent Hallie Jackson has the details. Hallie, good morning.
Hey, Tom, good morning to you. Listen, we all know that Instagram's been under a lot of scrutiny ever since that whistleblower revealed internal research showing more about how the app affects teens. Now, just one day after rolling out those safety features you mentioned, its CEO will face lawmakers here on Capitol Hill, with one of the leaders of that Senate committee expected to tell him that what the company's doing now is too little, too late.
Instagram in the hot seat this morning over whether they're doing enough to protect kids online. Its CEO, Adam Mosseri, set to face tough questions from a key Senate committee one day after the company rolled out new safety features. Those changes include options that prevent users from tagging or mentioning teens that don't follow them, a prompt to take a break to stop hours of scrolling, and starting this spring, parental controls to let adults see how long their teens spend on the app and set time limits. Some experts, skeptical.
Give me a break. Their business model depends on maximizing the amount of screen time, engagement, and attention they can get from your kids and your teen.
Today's hearing, coming after explosive reporting, found Facebook, now known as Meta, and Instagram are aware of how their apps can have a toxic effect on some teens, especially girls. The Wall Street Journal, reporting internal Facebook research, found 1 in 3 teen girl users said Instagram has contributed to their own body image issues. Teen users also said it influenced eating disorders, anxiety, and depression. Masseri telling Craig in September the company aims to address any issues with potentially negative effects of the app.
If anybody leaves using Instagram feeling worse about themselves, that's an important issue that we need to take seriously.
Facebook whistleblower Frances Haugen testifying in front of Congress in October.
The company's leadership knows how to make Facebook and Instagram safer, but won't make the necessary changes because they have put their astronomical profits before people.
Meta disputes the characterizations. CEO Mark Zuckerberg pushing back hard in October, writing in a post to his staff, "We care deeply about issues like safety, well-being, and mental health." But on regulating big tech, rare bipartisan agreement after years of hearings, Congress calling yet again for changes.
What we have seen is a lack of transparency and a lack of disclosure from the social media platforms.
Because the technology is moving quickly, we want to make sure we anticipate where the puck is going.
So, as for the other safety features that Instagram is now introducing, they're going to start nudging teens toward different topics if they've been dwelling on one thing for too long. And they're also creating a new educational hub for parents to provide tips and tools on how to talk to your teen about using social media. Tom?
All right, some big changes underway. Hallie, thank you for that.
Let us get our first check of the weather. Snow? Say it ain't snow.
Oh, come on. It's December. Yeah, let's get it going. All right. This is upstate New York, Rome, New York. We've been seeing some snow around the Great Lakes, some lake effect snow, and it's going to continue for a little while, but nothing all that bad. Let's show you what we've got going on today. You can see this low pressure system that's developing along the Carolinas. That's bringing some rain down to the south part of a cold front, also bringing some light snow upstate New York, from Chicago all the way to Syracuse, on up into parts of northern New England. This is going to be light stuff. The heaviest rain is going to be right along the South Carolina coast, also the North Carolina coast as well. We're also looking at wet weather back through Albany and Tuscaloosa. As you get along the Great Lakes, on into New England, some heavier snow, 2 to 4 inches, but generally light 1 to 2, not a big problem. Out west, we're going to be looking at some more winter weather, stretching from Rochester, Minnesota, all the way to Mammoth Lakes. Difficult travel. Gusty winds. We're watching this system come in. It's going to be a Pacific front that intensifies as it moves inland. We're bringing snow to the Cascades and the Rockies. Much needed rain for the southwest, parts of Arizona and California as well. But the snowfall amounts, we're talking good stuff for the Rockies on into the Cascades, anywhere from 6 to 12 inches of snow. And that's your latest weather. Guys?
All right, Al, thank you. And coming up, an infamous case back in the spotlight today. Scott Peterson, convicted in the deaths of his wife and unborn son nearly 2 decades ago, set to come face to face with her family today at his resentencing hearing. We're live at the courthouse.
Also had this morning, inside Amazon scrambled to make up for lost time after that massive outage brought deliveries to a screeching halt, knocked popular websites and streaming services offline for hours. What it all means for your holiday orders. But first, this is Today on NBC.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back. 7:30 Wednesday morning. They're playing your song, Craig. December 8th, 2021. 17 days to go before Christmas. And of course, our iconic Rockefeller Center Christmas tree is blowing brightly. And so are some of the hats on the plaza this morning.
17 days to go. You know what that means? That means 14 days to go until I can start shopping.
Oh, that there is you just, go. You shouldn't. That's why we call you Gift Card Craig. You like, you late, wait to the last minute.
I embrace it.
Not a great nickname.
I embrace it. We are going to start this half hour with a check of your 7:30 headlines. Congressional leaders have reached an elaborate deal to lift the nation's debt limit without needing any votes from Republicans. The House passed a bill on Tuesday that would allow the Senate to raise the country's borrowing limit with a simple majority vote. The deal is tied to a non-controversial Medicare bill. The one-time process likely averts another last-minute rush to avoid a federal default.
Workers at Kellogg's rejected a contract offer yesterday that would have provided 3% raises. So 1,400 workers at the company's four U.S. cereal plants will remain on strike. The union said an overwhelming majority of its workers who've been on strike since early October voted down that five-year offer. Kellogg says it will now move forward with plans to start hiring permanent replacements for the striking workers.
A plumber who found envelopes of money stashed in a wall at Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church has received a $20,000 reward for his find. The plumber made the discovery last month when he was removing a toilet from a church bathroom. Police say the cash and checks were likely connected to a 2014 theft at the church when $600,000 disappeared from a safe. The church first put up a reward at the time and later donated it to Crime Stoppers. Now that money is going to the plumber who made the incredible discovery. Guys, he says 500 envelopes fell out of the wall when he removed that
toilet. Can you imagine?
I can't. It's a wild story.
I'm glad he got the reward.
Yep.
Also this morning, a case that riveted the nation nearly 20 years ago is back in the spotlight today.
That's right. Scott Peterson received the death penalty for the murders of his wife, Lacey, and their unborn son. It was a sentence that was overturned last year. So today, Peterson is being resentenced and will appear in court along with members of Lacey Peterson's family. NBC's Aaron McLaughlin joins us from the courthouse in Redwood City, California. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning, Savannah. Today's hearing for Scott Peterson promises to be full of drama and emotion, with Lacey's family facing Peterson for the first time in nearly two decades. As for Scott Peterson, he's yet to address a court in his own words about the murder of his wife and unborn baby. His lawyer telling NBC News today that could change. This morning, Scott Peterson potentially speaking out in his own words for the very first time in court, face to face with the family of his slain wife, Lacey. Peterson was found guilty of murdering her and their unborn baby, Connor, on Christmas Eve 2002. Their remains washed ashore just miles from where Peterson said he'd been fishing that same day. Last week, Peterson was moved off death row after the California Supreme Court reduced his sentence to life without parole because his trial judge had excluded potential jurors opposed to the death penalty.
You've just visited Scott Peterson in jail. What's his state of mind?
He is happy that he's going to have the opportunity to go back into court. There is a chance that he will be allowed to speak. I think it's important at this point that people see he is a human being with feelings and emotions. I think it's important that the public hear from him to say that he did not kill his wife.
Has he expressed any concern for Lacey's family?
Very much so.
Lacey's family and friends will also be in court today, facing Peterson for the first time in nearly 17 years. Her mother, Sharon Rocha, expected to give a new victim impact statement. In 2006, she spoke to Dateline.
I was just beside myself, thinking about what he had done to her. And did she know that it was happening? And
was she afraid?
Mm-hmm. And how could he have done anything to Lacey? There was no reason. There was no reason for him to kill Lacey, other than pure selfishness.
At today's hearing, members of Peterson's family will also be there, including his sister-in-law, Janie, who says she's always believed he's innocent. Her fight to set him free doesn't end with today's resentencing. This summer, she told Today, she hopes evidence of alleged juror misconduct will win Scott a whole new trial.
If he is given a new trial, do you think he'll be exonerated?
Absolutely. I'm confident that Scott will never be convicted again.
Much of the DA's case was based on Peterson's affair with massage therapist Amber Fry, who testified she had no idea he was married and had told her his wife had died.
But also there was no evidence that he had anything to do with what happened to Lacey.
You don't believe an adulterer makes motive for murder?
I don't think you can take that leap. We don't have justice. This crime is not solved.
Given that we haven't heard Peterson speak out in 17 years, I asked his lawyer, why is he speaking out now? He said that he'd been following prior legal advice, now is focused on changing public perception ahead of a potential retrial, noting that it will be up to the judge whether or not he's allowed to speak in court today. Savannah?
All right, Aaron, thank you. And joining us now is legal analyst Lisa Green. Hi, Lisa. Morning to you.
Good morning.
Just to be clear about what's going to happen today, it's not about his guilt or innocence. It's about a legal issue, a resentencing, and he's expected to be resentenced to life in prison.
Well, that's right. There's no change in the evidence that brought the conviction. The change here was that the death penalty was deemed to be unconstitutional because jurors were struck from the panel. A court looked at that and was stunned that that happened. So Peterson no longer on death row, but his guilt or innocence, that remains the same today.
And so he's expected potentially to make a statement to the court if the judge allows it. What's the purpose of that? Is that a legal purpose or is it more of a kind of a public relations purpose?
Well, for Peterson, it's an opportunity to reset the narrative. That may not matter today at the resentencing. It would matter a lot, Savannah, if he had the opportunity for a new trial.
Well, let's talk about that because that's a separate issue, but that's coming as well. That's on the docket. There's controversy over one of the jurors in the original case and whether or not she lied on her jury voir dire, her questioning form. When you look at that issue, do you think it's likely that he would be granted a new trial?
I mean, it's possible, but it's not likely because the bar is set so high. Courts don't want to overturn verdicts, and defendants routinely raise all sorts of objections. That's their right. But for the court to have to overturn this verdict, they're going to have to find what's called prejudicial misconduct, not just the possibility of bias, but actual evidence showing that this juror essentially intended to reach a certain unfair result.
And do they have to show to get a new trial that but for this misconduct, there might have been a different result?
Well, they have to show essentially that this juror went in with a mission, and the mission was to, notwithstanding the promise to be fair and impartial, did something else. That's a pretty high bar.
Yeah. So Lacey Peterson's family also is expected to be in the courtroom this morning. Will they be permitted an opportunity to address the court and address Scott Peterson?
They'll have an opportunity to speak. They have historically been very vocal. That's understandable given what happened to their daughter. So it should be extraordinarily high drama in a small courtroom, very few attendants, and their opportunity to pour their hearts out with Scott Peterson in the room.
All right, Lisa, thank you very much. Guys, we'll send it over to you.
All right, SG, thank you. Coming up next, some new questions about the crippling outage at Amazon that really couldn't have come at a worse time. We'll talk about its impact on your holiday deliveries.
Yeah, what you need to know if you have orders right now in the works, right after this.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Bush Hager from Today with Hoda and Jenna and the Read with Jenna Book Club. There's nothing I love more than sharing my favorite reads with all of you, except maybe talking to the exceptional authors behind these stories. And that's what I'll be doing on my podcast, Read with Jenna. I'll be introducing you to some of my favorite writers. These conversations will leave you feeling inspired and entertained.
To start listening, just search Read with Jenna wherever you get your podcasts.
If you ever needed to be persuaded that bad things can happen anywhere, then take a journey with us.
From compelling mysteries to in-depth investigations, our Dateline episodes are available as podcasts.
Follow Dateline NBC now to get new episodes every Tuesday. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com.
Great storytelling with a twist from the true crime original.
We are back, 7:42, our ongoing series Race to Deliver on what's going to be an even busier day for the online giant Amazon.
Yeah, that's right. The company and a lot of its customers dealing with the fallout of a major outage that caused issues across the internet, even delaying some of those holiday shipments.
Yeah, we know a lot of you at home probably are looking for answers this morning. NBC's Tom Costello joins us now. Tom, good morning.
Hey, Tom, good morning to you. You know, when we think about Amazon, most people think about online shopping, but they're actually the biggest cloud computing company in the world. Many companies rely on them, including the CIA. When they went down yesterday, that caused massive problems. This morning, they say they are back up. They're getting restored, but that is still reverberating across the country just over 2 weeks till Christmas.
It's a major Amazon outage causing issues across the internet, even impacting the all-important holiday delivery rush. Amazon Web Services, the cloud computing division of the internet giant, began experiencing service issues Tuesday morning, hitting some of the most popular websites. The outage also impacting systems at Delta and Southwest Airlines. Streaming giants Netflix and Disney Plus both reported issues, and Amazon-linked devices like Ring security cameras, Kindles, and Alexa all reported disruptions.
The internet is a very complicated interdependent system, but it has a lot of these components that are kind of centralized at one company or a handful of big companies. And when they go down, they tend to take out a lot of the rest of the internet with them.
The outage also brought down critical tools inside Amazon, impacting some delivery operations during the already busy holiday season, and coming just as many Americans, already frustrated by supply chain backups, tried to get their holiday shopping in order. Amazon workers posting videos like these to social media, seeming to show company warehouses at a standstill. An Amazon spokesperson confirming to CNBC its warehouse and delivery operations were experiencing problems as a result of the outage. Sellers on Amazon also had issues accessing Seller Central, a site used to manage orders.
The ripple effect, not only with respect to if you're an AWS customer, but Amazon itself across the supply chain, especially in, you know, as we approach the holiday season, this is certainly not the appropriate time to have this outage for sure.
Amazon said the impairment of several network devices was to blame. Even this library in Kansas was impacted.
Amazon is a huge part of your life, far more than you may know. Well, nearly everything these days is computerized, and nearly the thing that's computerized is using some cloud platform, and more often than not, it's Amazon.
Overnight, the company adding the network issues were resolved and that it was working towards recovery of any impaired services.
East Coast operations seem to have been impacted the most. Importantly here, Amazon, of course, as we've said, this cloud computing giant. And when the giant goes down, it feels that we all feel the thud around the world. But again, they say that they're back up and running today. No idea, by the way, how many warehouses may have been impacted, how many packages may have been delayed. Guys, back to you.
It's a great point, Tom. We rely so much on Amazon these days. Sure. Tom Costello for us. Thank you.
To quote my mother, what is the cloud?
Yeah, there you go.
I know. Whatever it is, it was down.
Yeah, it was down big time.
I've been dealing with clouds long before.
Yes, you have.
Believe me. Well, we're also talking about dealing with some temperatures out here. Big temperature swings. Green Bay, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Richmond, all seeing temperatures below average. Boston, 41 degrees today. Then that system moves up to the south and to the north. And look at this. By Saturday, Boston, you're going to be at 62 degrees. New York City, 64. Elkins, West Virginia, 68. Hey, Cleveland, 62 degrees for you. Cincinnati, looking at temperatures into the mid-60s. But as we look out west, big temperature drops. By Friday, Denver, you're only at 32, 31 in Alamosa by Saturday, 30 for Grand Junction. Vegas, you're going to be seeing temperatures only about 50 degrees on Saturday. And that's your latest weather, guys.
All right, Mr. Roker, coming up, an ingredient in a classic Southern dish, a very special kind of rice that could help us live longer.
Yeah, rice is actually healthier than you think. Cynthia McFadden discovered why it's something we should all be eating. But first, these messages.
We are back. Chanel Jones joining
the party. Good morning to you. Coming up, a new reason to love Dwayne Johnson. Wait until you see what he did for someone else while he was being honored at the People's Choice Awards.
And then Cynthia Nixon live in our studio ahead of the big Sex and the City revival after your local news.